Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 147, how to stay safe on the trail.
Now go back to the Titanic. I mean, if she didn't have the whistle, you know, she would never have been found. So that's a huge underrated survival tool.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from Outside Health and Fitness, and thank you for joining me for another episode. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, roll, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, we love it. So if you're like us and you like to have fun outside, then you found the right place. I'm here to help you find new motivation to be fit, to make working out less like work and more like fun. If you need a fitness partner to inspire you and help you find the fun in fitness, I'm here for you. All of my contact information can be found at outsidehealthandfitness.com. Reach out and let's get started. It's one of those things you don't think will ever happen to you. You're out on a nice hike and something goes wrong. You sprain your ankle, you get lost, or bad weather rolls in. The question is, are you prepared? You know, situations like this happen so infrequently that it's common to forget about taking the precautions necessary to ensure that you have a safe hike and you're ready for anything. I've got Ben from Ben on Adventures on the show today, and he's going to share some safety and survival tips with you. If you like to seek adventure in the backcountry or even enjoy day hikes, you're going to want to check out what Ben shares on the show today. On today's show, you'll discover what to do if you get lost in the backcountry, the rule of threes, and some of the essential items you'll want to have with you to stay safe on the trail.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
You know, I first had Ben Maynard from Ben on Adventures on the show in episode 133, and we talked a lot about how he plans for an epic hiking adventure like tackling the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Coast Trail. Now, obviously, when you're setting out on a new adventure, whether you're tackling a big trail or a small one, getting lost is a concern. And it's not just something that happens to rookies. Even experienced hikers get lost. In fact, sadly, the recent discovery of the remains of a Tennessee thru-hiker show that she got lost and eventually died from exposure on the Appalachian Trail. I asked Ben about how he prepares and advice he gives to new hikers who find themselves suddenly lost in the backcountry.
Well, you see, when you get lost, that's one of your biggest things is you probably would panic in that situation and think, oh my gosh, how am I going to get back? Or will anyone ever find me?
Right.
But some of the tips I've learned really over the years are, you know, before you even hit the trail, one of the best things to do is just be prepared, you know, research the environment you're going into. Don't just go into an area blind because that can really cause you a lot of problems in the long run because you may just get yourself lost that way, just unknowing the area you're entering into.
Right.
And another big tip about not getting lost is give your itinerary to someone.
Right.
Like, you know, give someone a copy or map. Give them a copy of, you know, exactly. Give them an idea of how long it'll take you to hike the trail you're hiking and how long you're going to be out there, you know, exploring.
Yeah, that's a great one because, I mean, those times when you do get lost, you're going to feel so much better knowing that somebody's got your back. Someone knows that you're supposed to be back at a certain time.
Yeah, that's definitely a great thing to remember.
So how can you get lost in the first place? You know, Ben says it's really about staying focused. Always be checking your surroundings
so you don't go off trail. Like, you know, always be checking your map. Always be checking your bearing. You know, if you see a certain landmark on your map, make sure you're staying in the general area of that landmark. If that's where you want to be, you know, don't stray too far from what your surroundings are. Because if you're talking to a trail partner or something, you may not pay attention and you easily get lost that way.
If you do get lost, what should you do? It's like that old rock song, should I stay or should I go, right? Well, Ben has an easy way to remember what to do. If you find yourself lost on the trail, he says it's best to remember the acronym
STOP. Stay, observe, think, and plan. And keeping those four things in mind will really help you. Stay means to just stay in the location you are. Don't just immediately panic and run off, and that could get you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Observe. And then when it comes to observing, just like I said, pay attention to your landmarks, pay attention to your bearings, pay attention to your map, and that'll get you a long way. And then think about where you are, think about how long you've been lost, and try to stay in the general area where you are unless you have to self-rescue.
Yeah.
And plan. Just make a plan, of how to survive or stay in the area you are.
Yeah, that's excellent. So before you go, stop.
Definitely stop. Another tip I have, the rule of threes: 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 minutes without air. Those are important.
So those are great tips and easy to remember. Stop, stay, think, observe, plan. And then the rule of threes: 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 minutes without air. If you do get lost and you stay put, Ben shared this tip about using the international
distress signal. All you have to do is make three signal fires that are about 70 feet apart. Three fires in a straight line, that's a distress signal. Or if you make them in a triangle, that's another alternative for a distress signal. So that's another way to signal for help.
Okay, all good tips for staying found. Now, what about the weather? How do you prepare for that? A lot of times in the backcountry, bad weather just seems to come out of nowhere. Well, Ben's advice is to do your homework and research the area you're going into.
Look over old weather maps, look over different weather websites, call the trail rangers, call anybody for, the recent history of the area you're going into to find out exactly, or kind of get a general estimation of what the weather is like in that area before you enter an area. For example, if the area gets a lot of snowfall and it's nice out right now,
yeah,
like if it's 70 degrees, but it still gets a lot of snowfall, you go into it with shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops, and then it just blizzards, then you're done for.
And that's a big mistake that people make in the White Mountains, particularly in the springtime. You'll see people at the base of the mountain. It's great. It's a nice spring day. But at the top, it's winter conditions, So you have to, like you said, you really have to know what you're doing, be prepared.
Oh, yeah. That's how it was actually back when I was younger. When I was in about sixth grade, we went out to Seattle, Washington, and we were down in the city, and it was like summertime weather. We were in shorts and t-shirts, and we actually went up into the mountains, and we were in shorts and t-shirts, and we're having snowball fights, and it was cold as can be up there. And then when we got back down back into the city, it was 75 degrees.
Yeah. So preparation and knowledge is key to being prepared for the types of weather you may experience. And it's important to recognize that weather at the base of the mountain is not always indicative of weather at the top. But what can you do when you're on the trail and bad weather rolls in?
One of the biggest things to remember is pay attention to the sky. Always keep an eye out on the clouds. The clouds start getting dark, clouds start rolling in, something's probably coming.
Yeah.
So you definitely want to pay attention to the sky. Pay attention to the wind pattern. If the wind pattern shifts, that could be a cold front coming in, and a cold front a lot of times signals bad weather.
So it's a wise idea to always bring extra mid layers, an outer shell, hats, mittens, and other weather gear with you when you're venturing into the backcountry. Even if it looks nice where you are, preparing ahead for cold, rain, and snow is a good idea. And speaking of rain, another thing you need to be careful of in the backcountry is water. Drinking it, that is. In fact, a lot of times
with wild water, you can have so many different diseases, viruses, so many different things can put a damper on your hike. Drinking wild water can make you sick for 3 weeks at a time, and that can just completely ruin a hike.
Yes.
One of the best ways to treat water is just the old fashioned way, and just boil it, really.
Yeah.
So boiling it will get rid of all the diseases, get rid of all the viruses, like everything. One thing to remember when you're boiling water, is to just filter it somehow before you say if you dump it into your pot. Don't just go out into a creek or stream or something and scoop up water with your pot just because, you could get sediments in there. So definitely put some type of barrier in there, like a t-shirt or something to cover it, and then put water in there to filter out sediment or pieces of bark or dust.
So the last thing that you want to have to deal with on the trail are stomach issues caused by nasty bacteria or microbes. When you can, it's obviously best to carry in water. But what if you need to replenish your water supply on the trail? What's the best and cleanest source?
The ideal location is definitely get water from a flowing water source, because a lot of times stagnant water sources can really house the bacteria and viruses and all that, all the nasty stuff. If you're in a snowy area, like a snowy mountaintop or something, you could take it and put it inside a container and like put it in your pack or put it in underneath your jacket or something and, you know, melt the snow. But you never want to eat snow because it can like blister your mouth really badly.
Yeah.
And one of the main things it can do is lower your core body temperature, and you don't want your core body temperature to drop.
Right.
Because that can really compromise your bike.
So another important consideration for trail safety is bringing first aid and survival gear with you. I asked Ben what he likes to pack in his kit and take with him on the trail.
For my first aid kit, it's made up of a few different things that make up the entire kit. First, it has over-the-counter like drugs from it. You know, I have ibuprofen, I have Advil. That's good for like fast-acting pain relief and anti-inflammatory.
Yeah.
It's good for fever and headache reducer. Tylenol, that's for pain relief and fever and headache reducer as well. Along with that, I have Imodium. You know, they're for anti-diarrhea. And then Benadryl, you know, that's great for allergies. And a little known thing, if you're on a long hike or something and you can't sleep, it's definitely a good sleep aid. And then either Claritin or Zyrtec for, you know, another allergy thing. Those are the different medicines. But when it comes to wounds, I carry just, you know, basic adhesive bandages, you know, in different sizes, whether they be for small things like something like, you know, a little scrape or like a bigger bandage. I just carry a little assortment of those. I carry some roll gauze just because gauze can be really useful for just about like any type of cut or injury. I carry some Neosporin. Some tools I carry is, you know, just a classic Swiss Army knife in there for batteries are great to have in your first aid kit, you know, for whether it be for your headlamp or flashlight or whatever it is you carry that needs batteries. That's a great place to store batteries. And then I carry a whistle in there.
Yeah.
A whistle is a great thing. It's a very underrated thing. A lot of people look over, but I mean, look,
you
know, go back to the Titanic. I mean, if she didn't have the whistle, you know, she would never have been found. So that's a huge underrated survival tool.
We used to have this thing, you've probably seen these, where it was a whistle with a compass on the top and a little compartment for matches and a little, like a flint on the side of it. It's a great thing to carry. It was real compact and it had a lot of good stuff.
Speaking of flint, another thing to have, another great thing to have in your little like first aid or survival kit, whatever you want to call it. I usually have two Bic lighters on me, just one, you know, one in the first aid kit, one on my pack. You know, have some type of emergency tinder in there, like cotton balls with Vaseline on them. Because Vaseline is very flammable when it's on cotton balls, just a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And then a ferrocium rod, like a fire steel to get fire started. And, you know, those, you know, you can start those in any environment, whether it's wet environment, hot environment, snowy, you know, it doesn't matter.
And that's huge, too. I mean, if you do have to spend a night out, you definitely want to have a fire.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's basically what my survival kit, that's what it is.
And it's important to go back over those things, too, isn't it? I mean, that's one of the errors that I've made before where I've got a first aid kit and I just kind of throw it in the pack all the time. And I rarely use it, but then the time that I do need to use it, I go in and I find that, the batteries are corroded or the aspirin has expired or something, you know?
One thing I don't recommend is buying a pre-made first aid kit.
Yeah.
Because you can make one for the same price and have a lot more left over when it comes to like the medicines.
Right.
And you can get a lot better quality than you can in like a bulk or a pre-made first aid kit. That's definitely a thing I recommend doing.
Wait a second. What about duct tape?
Duct tape is a major thing I keep. I usually have that though, like that's either like on my trekking poles.
Yes, right.
Or it's around the handle of my knife or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I do with it too. I put it on poles a lot of times. It's got like a bazillion uses. You can almost start a whole civilization if you have enough duct tape.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So aside from sharing helpful advice about hiking, Ben regularly reviews hiking and survival products. In fact, he just became a brand ambassador for
Rocky S2V. They are a survival brand company. They make jackets, they make mid layers, they make trekking pants, they make heavier style trekking pants, they make trail running shoes, you know, traditional hiking boots. Then they make little survival essentials, you know, fire starters and stuff like that. And then I actually recently just became an ambassador for Minus 33.
Yeah.
They're a base layer company and they make most of their stuff is merino wool. So it's real nice, real warm, real light, great stuff.
Ben has a great website at benonadventures.com, and I'll have links to that site and all the other places you can follow his adventures online in the show notes for this episode. I hope you got some value from the show today and discovered some new ideas for staying safe in the backcountry. I have some fantastic shows and interviews coming up this month, and I'm excited about sharing them with you. You know, a great way to make sure you never miss an episode is to join our free mailing list. And I want to welcome a few new members who joined Outside Health and Fitness this week. Hello, Alex, Hill, and Orlando. It's great to have you on board. If you want to join too, it's super easy. Just visit outsidehealthandfitness.com/147 and listen for your name on the show next week. When you do visit the site, you'll get links to everything that we talked about on the show today and your free copy of Fit Fast First Thing, my Tabata morning workout for a quick 10-minute routine you can use to start your day off right. It's a perfect way to stay in shape and strong for your next outdoor adventure. Visit outsidehealthandfitness.com/147. I'm Steve Stearns. Thank you again for listening. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. I hope you got something of value from the show today that helps you get outside and in shape. For more on taking your health and fitness outside, visit outsidehealthandfitness.com and subscribe to the show. Until next time, I'll see you outside.